You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Launching kids into the world is no joke, whether you're sending your kid to kindergarten or off to college. Some days we wonder if we're doing anything right. One thing is for sure, we all want to do it well. Hi, I'm Jamie, mom of four.
And I'm Lisa, mom of three. We're here to help and encourage you in your parenting journey. Never perfect, always honest, and in the trenches with you. We're experienced, but not experts. You ready?
Let's launch. Lisa, talking about sex with our kids is very scary.
Yes.
I remember when one of my kids asked me a question. They had to have been about six or seven. And my husband, Aaron, was out of town. And it was one of my sons.
Oh!
And I had previously to this question thought, well, Aaron will do all the sex talk with the boys and I'll do it with our daughter.
Yeah.
And this kind of threw a wrench in my whole plan.
Right.
And he asked me a question about sex. And I just was like, it wasn't something that I could be like, wait till your dad gets home. And I had a whole conversation with him and it was beautiful and lovely. And he was 7 years old, you know?
Yeah.
And, but two things happened. I remember from that conversation. Number one, I remember, okay, as a mom, I can still have conversations about sexuality with my boys.
Yeah.
It's different now that they're, you know, teenagers, but at 7 years old, like I was a part of that conversation as well. And number two, it showed me, as awkward as it felt in the moment, it wasn't that awkward for my son. He was 7 years old. You know, his questions were funny.
Yeah.
You know, they asked like, do I have to do that? You know?
Remind him of that later, will
exactly.
you?
Yeah. I'm like, okay, no, you don't.
Yeah.
But his questions were innocent and cute and just sweet. But what that did is it set the stage for me to be able to have conversations revolving around sexuality with my kids. Mm. That now as a mom to teenagers, I'm grateful that I didn't take them away when they were 12 and sit down and have a conversation, that we was kind of evolving.
Yeah.
Do you remember like a conversation with one of your kids when they were younger?
Yes, I do. And not because it was so beautiful and lovely. Mm-hmm. It was awkward, Jamie. Yeah. I remember talking with my daughter. So we had this conversation and I was determined to have it because I knew I think she was like 10.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need to have this talk because I don't want her to hear about it at school. And I need her to hear about it from me. Yeah. So we had this talk, and I remember we went to my office, which, okay, thinking back on that, that's a little awkward. Hey, come to my office. Let's talk about sex, right? But I was telling her, and I'm a factual person. So uh-huh. for me, I'm like, I'm not going to gloss this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be glossy with this. I'm going to tell her the facts. And I just remember she held our dog the whole time and, like, almost hid behind our dog.
It was like a little therapy dog
for
her.
It was a therapy dog. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. And I thought, you know, this is good. Like, she needs this dog here. It was very awkward for her. It was hard to hear. But I felt good because I had given her the information that she needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also knew that a lot of kids, when they don't have information, they Google it.
Yes.
Right?
Or make assumptions.
Right. Because some of my friends, the way their boys had started into porn or had gotten into stuff is because they Googled stuff because they didn't know it. And someone at school had said something.
And they're not Googling, like, what is sex? They're Googling French kissing.
Or whatever term somebody
threw
around at school, right? Yeah. Which, you know, who knows what that might be.
Right.
I think one of the things, Jamie, that parents worry about is if I talk to my kids about sex.
Yeah.
If I bring it up more specifically,
then
I'm going to expose them, and I'm kind of air quotes expose them to something that they otherwise aren't thinking about. I just want to say this, and then I want to hear what you have to say about it. I want to say that they already know about sex.
Yeah.
In fact, when I asked my boys later on, like now they're in their 20s, right? Mm-hmm. I said, when dad talked to you about sex, because we had the gender, dad talks to the boys, I talked to my daughter. I said, when dad talked to you about sex, did you already know? Both of them already knew.
Yeah.
So What is your thought about that sort of worry that parents have?
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at a stat earlier, and it said that the average age that a kid sees pornography is 11.
Wow.
So when I always think about, like, do I want to talk to my kids early about sex or not, it makes me think, do I want their vision of sex to be what they find on a porn site?
Yes.
Or do I want their vision to be sex about what their mom and dad tell them about God's design for sex?
Yeah.
And so I think that rationale of, like, oh, I'm going to tell them something they don't already know about, there could be some truth to that.
Sure.
They might not know it all.
Right.
But I also think our kids are hearing things at school.
Yeah.
On the playground,
yeah.
At church,
yep.
Everywhere they go, they're being exposed to it. And so for me as a parent, I say, man, I want to get a head start on that.
Yes.
I want to play offense.
Yes.
I don't want to play defense about sexuality. I want to play offense. Yes. And to me, I'm like, man, it would be like if I'm talking to my 16-year-old about what happens if you're driving too fast, like the things that could go wrong if you're speeding down a road here in my neighborhood. That's not telling them how to speed. It's telling them, if you do this, here's some dangers that could come along with it. Today, millions around the world are suffering as a result of violence, oppression, and extreme poverty. Sometimes this endless cycle of suffering can feel overwhelming. If you're like me, you want to play a part in bringing an end to suffering. And at the same time, I think we all want our children to have a deeper understanding of the needs in the world and guide them towards becoming generous and compassionate adults. But sometimes it's hard to know exactly where to start and who to trust. That's why I'm super excited to tell you about The Path from our friends at World Relief. The Path is a community of bold, compassionate people of faith who are committed to fighting against suffering and injustice in pursuit of lasting change with their monthly gifts to World Relief. Whether it's a crisis in Ukraine, an earthquake in Haiti, or a wave of refugees from Afghanistan, you can trust that The Path community is already there, responding with the love of Jesus alongside you and your family and your children. Empowered by the monthly support from the PATH community, World Relief is making a difference around the world, and you can be a part of it. You guys, I personally love the work that World Relief is doing with the PATH community. I trust them and I believe in them, and I want to give you the opportunity to join as well. You can join the PATH community of monthly givers by visiting worldrelief.org/launch. That's worldrelief.org/launch, LAUNCH. Launch your kids into life by leading them to love like Jesus. Join the path at worldrelief.org/launch today.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room. Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Yes, and also, there's a lot of misinformation, right, that they've heard at school, or their friends, or because their friends have heard it through something else, or through
a big brother or a cousin, or
like a warped idea,
yeah,
honestly, from porn,
yeah,
or whatever. So I certainly want them to know, you know, the right idea, like biblically,
yeah,
and all of those kinds of things. And I'll say this, Jamie, I was exposed to porn,
yeah,
at 8 years old myself.
Mm-hmm.
And
me
I,
too, in like third grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from a neighbor whose dad,
yep,
had porn magazines.
Yeah.
Because at the time, that was porn.
That's how you saw
that
it.
That was,
yeah,
the porn stuff.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of adults that have been in that space.
Yeah.
And so I think we've got to realize, like, a lot of times it's at a sleepover,
mm-hmm,
or, but it can be anywhere.
Yeah, totally. I mean, one of my kids got a spam on their text.
Yes.
That led to a porn site,
yep,
you know? And so,
yep,
I think also one of the things that when parents are raising younger kids and they're like, okay, so you're telling me I should talk to my kids about sex when they're like 5 years old? And my answer is yes, but you're not talking about intercourse.
Right.
That's what I think we have to also get around, is that, like, we're not saying, like, introduce your 5 year old, your 6 year old, or 7 year old, 8 year old to what sex is.
Right.
But let's give them language for their bodies. Because yes. also, when people have, when there are studies that show that when kids have language around their bodies, it helps them know this is not okay if someone's doing this to me, which is a whole other conversation.
Yes.
But that revolves around teaching our kids about their bodies and yes. about sexuality. And that's the beginning of a conversation. So I think the problem when you talk about, people think if I expose them before they know something, well, if you talk to your kids about intercourse when they're five, you might be exposing them to something they don't
yes.
know.
Yes. Yes.
But if you talk to them about their bodies
yes.
and about how God created them unique and special mm. and he gave them a penis and a vagina and right. you say the words, which that was weird for me,
yeah.
but and not everyone does that, but just giving language
yes.
to what our bodies are is really, really helpful.
I think too, as they hear from their parents, where their parents aren't treating it shamefully,
mm.
you know what I mean? Like yeah. there's just sort of this tone.
Yeah.
Because so much, especially with like young women, of the way that sexuality is continued to be carried out mm. into relationships and even marriages and so yeah. forth, is the value piece.
Yep.
And I think if they see that the parents are weird about talking about it, if the parents are
yeah.
awkward about
mm-hmm.
it, you know, that whole thing is really...
You know, it leads me to think about how I have teenagers and you have... is your daughter 20 yet? Or she's 19?
19.
Okay, so you almost have all 20-year-olds,
right,
almost.
Right, right.
So all mine are teenagers.
Yeah.
And so I would love to know what, like, talking about these things looks like for you. Because for me, with having all high school and college kids
right.
is what I've got working with. For me, a lot of it is, like, talking with them about things I hear on the news or talking with them about stories that I hear, talking with them about things with their friends. I'll give you an example. I was recently talking with my daughter.
Yeah.
And I asked her, this is kind of forward, and some people might think I'm weird or this might make you uncomfortable if you're listening. I asked her if any of her friends, at this point she was in eighth grade, I said, are any of your friends having sex?
Yeah.
And I don't need her to tell me names. I don't need her to throw her friends under the bus.
Right.
I was literally just wondering, what's happening with your friend group? And she said, I don't think so, but some of them are giving, she used the term, can we say this?
I don't know.
She said some of them are participating in oral sex.
Yes.
But she used the term that we'll leave out here, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
And so I was like, oh, man. And I used that whole conversation to not just talk about what God wants sex to be like, but I did what you were just talking about, is I used it to talk to her about, like, the value of her life.
Yes.
And so I said, what made me sad about that is not just that some girls at her school were giving oral sex.
Right.
Because I don't want to be shameful about that.
Right.
I wanted to pitch to her that God had something better in store for sex than just flippantly giving oral sex to a dude. And so I think that's kind of what we're talking about here when our kids get older.
Yes.
Is how do we change the narrative to talk about, what does God want for me with my sexuality?
Yes. That's such a wise way to approach it too. Because I think the reason why we're not having these conversations with our kids is because we feel weird about sex ourselves.
Right.
I also respect the fact that, you know, you're able to have this conversation with your daughter and she's using terms I know that we're not using on the show.
Yeah.
But let's just go there for a second. That's the terms that kids are using.
Right.
And so if we freak out as parents and we're like, oh, you can't use those terms, we're losing the ability to be able to connect with our kids
yeah.
in which that's where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's super important as parents. We've got to remember, like, we cannot freak out about these things that are really happening, are really going on. We've got to take our heads out of the sand and we've got to go, okay, what do we really want here? Do we want to be precious and fragile? Or do we want to have this real conversation that's really happening, that is in actual time, that
yeah.
our kids are dealing with?
Yeah.
Like, this is a pressing issue for your daughter and her age group.
Yeah.
And what's smart about it is that you came in and you said, hey, let's have this conversation, but I'm going to be wise about it because I know my daughter's probably not going to want to talk to me about her sex life.
Right.
You know, not that she's not
but,
having
I mean,
one,
I'm,
but you know
still,
what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like, what if she was?
Yeah.
What if, because many of our kids are,
yep.
right? Okay. So you're coming in and you're saying, hey, are any of your friends having sex?
Yeah.
So smart, Jamie.
Yeah. Oh.
Because, like, that's the way you find out what is going on with them.
Right, right. Can I say something about the terms? I remember when I was growing up, and in my family, we didn't talk about sex hardly at all. All I knew was don't do it.
Right.
Okay, and I started having sex when I was 16, so that's part of my story. All I knew was don't do it.
Yeah.
But I also always thought my parents were dumb about sex.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I would have, like, never, so, like, oral sex. I would have been like, there's no way that my parents do this. And no, that's way. Not a conversation I ever want to have in my
right.
entire life.
Right.
But I just would have never thought, my parents are so, like, they're so square and they're right. just lame.
Right.
And I don't, I'm not talking with my kids about my own personal sex life, but by using those terms, I want them to know, hey, your mom's not an idiot.
Right.
Like, I'm not dumb.
Right.
I think that helps them know to be like, oh, they know about these things.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's such a good point, because I do think that in young people's minds, and I know this because I was a young person, right?
Yes.
In young people's minds, you think sex is for young people.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't think, like, at a certain age, and I don't know what the age is, but, like, at a certain age, we actually had this off camera last night.
Exactly.
We talked about this a little bit, but, like, you know, at a certain age, yeah. you think, like, we don't, they don't have sex anymore. They don't know what the new stuff uh-huh. is. By the way, there's nothing new under the sun.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
This isn't new stuff. Sex right. is not new stuff.
Yeah.
But I think we think that when we're young, and obviously we don't think we want to think about our parents, whatever. But you're right. It does show, like, hey, I'm still relevant in this conversation. I'm on it. I know what's happening. We don't know everything. But that's another point, though. Jamie, I think it's really important to keep up, because one of the things and one of the tendencies with parents, I think, is to, along the way, get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Also think maybe I can kind of take off the gas a
yeah.
little. And that's happened, especially when you have older kids a little yeah. bit. You're like, oh, they're good. I can kind of ease up a little bit here. I would encourage parents to stay in it, do your research, know what's happening, know about apps, know about the internet. Like, you can't afford to be ignorant about these things.
I know.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, Jamie Ivy here. I had my first child graduate from high school last year. I know it's crazy, but it was so much fun, and it was actually so much fun helping him navigate college. I loved going on school visits with him. I loved talking to him about what he was interested in. I loved going and visiting my former university that I graduated from with him. And I will admit, at some points, as fun as it was, I started to feel a little overwhelmed. I want to tell you about something in case you are in this boat. Maybe you have a junior or you have a senior, which I have two juniors right now, so I will be doing this again quite soon. But if you have a student with college on the horizon, I want to tell you about a new website to check out. FindYourChristianCollege.com. Find Your Christian College was created by the North American Coalition for Christian Admissions Professionals as a helpful resource for your college search process. The organization collaborates with hundreds of Christian colleges and universities across North America to promote Christian higher education. When you visit the website, you can explore more than 225 Christian college options through the school search engine, filtering search results based on things like size, location, majors, athletics, and more. You can also find and register to attend one of over 125 in-person Christian college fairs across the U.S. These fairs take place each fall and spring, and if you can't travel, there are virtual college fairs too. Also available at findyourchristiancollege.com is a free must-have online resource called The Guide to Christian Colleges and Universities. Help your student to follow their path, further their education, and find their future. Find out more at findyourchristiancollege.com/launch. That's findyourchristiancollege.com/launch.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Oh. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
It was interesting because I was just I was doing an event not long ago, and I always do sort of this funny kind of icebreaker in the beginning.
Yeah.
And so this event had women of all ages, and in fact had some like tweens that were at this event. And so I do this funny thing in the beginning where I talk about emojis. And I talk about how for a long time I was using the peach emoji and I didn't know what that was. Uh-huh. And so everybody really laughs. I don't want to give away my whole joke here because what if I come speak and you can't hear? Anyway, at the certain point, I talked about emojis and I talked about the fruits and vegetables emoji. It's funny. It's very light. Yeah. I don't say anything overtly sexual, but everybody sort of gets it.
Yeah.
One of the moms on the second day had complained about this joke that I told because she was with her tween daughter. And what she was really upset about, Jamie, was that her daughter knew what she got the joke.
Yeah.
But the mom didn't get the joke. I have to tell you that I wasn't apologetic about that. While I wish that she hadn't found out through me about what these emojis were, it was a good reminder, I think, maybe for the mom that this was something she needed to be in the know about.
Yeah.
And I do feel like, you know, this is why you keep up with stuff so that you're aware of it. Because listen, I mean, you can tell me, but is this emoji thing a secret? Like,
no.
I feel like pretty much if you're on your phone, you're going to know about that, right?
Yeah. And I think that's just what you're talking about of like, how do we not be dumb about things?
Yeah.
You know, I think another concern that parents have about sex and whatever stage of life your kids are in, whether they're in kindergarten, middle school, high school, college, and it might be more of a concern for you and I with older kids, is what happens if our kids have sex?
Yes.
And you and I both grew up in what people will call this purity culture world.
Yep.
Evangelical world where I signed all the True Love Waits cards.
Yep.
I don't know if you did.
Did you get the ring?
Oh, I had a little necklace that my dad
Perfect.
Gave me. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. For me, even though growing up in that world, signed True Love Waits cards.
Yeah.
Dinner with my dad.
Yeah.
Necklace.
Yeah.
Key to my heart.
Yeah, perfect.
Started having sex when I was 16.
Yeah.
And I didn't start following Jesus until I was 21. But when I did, I brought so much shame.
Yeah.
Because I felt like there was this one rule that you had to follow to be a good Christian kid.
Yeah.
Well, two, really.
Yeah.
Don't have sex and don't drink.
Yeah.
And so I think what can be scary for parents is what do we do if we find out that our kids are having sex?
Mm.
And I have not walked this road yet, but here's my very uneducated, non-experienced answer. Anyone can correct me. Here we go.
Okay.
Is I want to be the type of parent who, number one, does not find my identity in my kid's sexuality.
That's good.
You know what I mean? So like my identity as a mom does not change no matter what my kids choose to do.
So good.
So that's a summary of everything we've ever talked about on the show. Okay?
That's enough for the whole show.
The show right there.
Yeah.
But number two, I want to teach my kids God's design for sexuality because it lasts not just till you're married and not just till you're 18, but it lasts forever. And I also want to teach them about God's love and grace.
Mm.
And so how do we as parents have a really high standard?
Yeah.
Not because it's ours even, because it's God's. God has a high standard for our sexuality. But how do we also pair that with like grace and love and mercy?
Yeah.
This is a scary thing for parents.
I think you're right. You know, here's what I would say, Jamie, and I really believe this to be true. I think the reason why we struggle with this conversation so much, I kind of alluded to it earlier, is because we have not reconciled sexuality in ourselves first. We just really haven't. We have shame from our own past that we have not dealt with. We have issues from the way that we were brought up and the whole mindset of the way the culture that we were brought up in, whether it was in the church, whatever the case may be. We haven't dealt with our own sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, we are carrying this into the way that we are trying to parent our kids, and it's wow. it's we're broken. And so because of that, we don't know how to talk to them. We freak out when we find out that maybe they're having sex with their boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever the sexual issue is yeah. that's going on. Yeah. And it's tough. So I think we've got to deal with our own issue first.
Yeah.
That's first and foremost. Because how can we have a healthy conversation with our kids if we haven't dealt with our stuff?
Yeah.
So that's first and foremost. Then I think honesty. I mean, we have to be honest. We have to be open. And our kids are not always going to want to talk to us. I think sometimes we think like we can force the lid open.
Right.
That's not always the case. Yeah. Like I'm telling you, when I talked to my daughter about sex, she didn't want to talk about
yeah.
it. I knew it was important. So I think there's a balance
yeah.
with pursuing the conversation, yeah. but not forcing it to where it feels very aggressive.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important sort of balance there. And listen, I know you are too. I'm a proponent for like therapy if you need it.
All of it.
And honestly, even just to therapy for you as a parent yeah. to know how to navigate the conversations.
Yeah.
'Cause this is a really, really big one and it's important. That's why we're talking about it.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I think you mentioned earlier that sometimes parents might feel if I tell them about this too early, I'll expose them something they don't know about, right?
Right, right.
I think another fear that parents have is and you were talking about our sexual brokenness, which side note, everyone has sexual brokenness.
Yes.
Because we're broken people and our sexuality is a part of that. So I think sometimes parents are afraid if I tell my kids about my own journey, especially if you had a hard journey around sexuality, then I'm going to be telling them that it's okay.
Mm.
This was a really big fear of mine of having teenagers, of letting them know about my story. I started having sex when I was 16. I had been pregnant twice in college. Like all of these things felt like too much to give to my sweet little babies.
Yeah.
And I remember when I told them, they all know my story now, but I was so afraid two things. Number one, that they would think less of me, which is such just a lie from Satan himself.
Yeah.
And then number two, I was afraid that they would see like, well, Mom, you turned out okay, so I'll just have sex whenever I want.
Yes. Yeah.
That was a really big fear of mine.
Yeah.
Which why I think it all goes back to, am I teaching them to just keep their legs closed and don't have a penis enter the vagina? Mm. Or am I teaching them about God's design for our sexuality? Because we said this earlier.
Yes.
God's design for our sexuality, it matters to you and I, who have been married for decades.
It does. And one of the things that I've seen, I think I've seen this more in like the last 5 years, Jamie. It's like we want our kids to be a certain way. And let's just keep in the context of sexuality, right? But we ourselves are living a different way.
Mm.
But we're asking our kids to like have this other standard, right? I'm not talking about perfection here. Like, nobody's going to be perfect. But what are we teaching our kids? Are we modeling things? Mm. Are we in the journey with them?
Yeah.
Listen, we're all being, like, transformed by Christ. This is a process for all of us. And I'll just tell you, just from a parenting perspective, I've made a million mistakes.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I am the most proud of is just having open dialogue with my kids. And maybe that doesn't seem like a big deal to some people, but we're still talking.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big deal when it comes to sexuality.
I think it's a huge deal when it comes to sexuality, because the world is continuing to talk.
Yeah.
And I don't even mean like, oh, all the bad things out there. I just mean like a different view of the beauty that God created us, man and woman, and the beauty in how we can work together, and the beauty of all those things. Yeah. Can be so tainted. And I remember when I told my kids parts of my story, I knew when I went in to tell them, and I've told them individually at different times, what I wanted them to remember was not the things their mom did or the mistakes that she made. I wanted them to remember how good our God is.
So good.
And so I think opening up with your kids, like you said, this open dialogue, which is so good.
Yeah.
Because if you think it's good when they're 7 or when they're 15, you've got these 20-year-olds, and I could just cry imagining that life, that open dialogue. But it's a way to say like, hey, I get to show you the goodness of God in your mom's life. And that, to me, I pray that, and I know confidently that God will use that more than them thinking, oh, my mom made these mistakes, and so I'm going to follow in her footsteps.
Yeah.
What if they ended up out of that conversation of, man, God is really gracious to his people?
I think you've just summed up parenting in a way, Jamie. I really do. It's always about the goodness of God. It's always about the goodness of God through our mistakes. It's about the goodness of God through the journey. And I think when we're not afraid to say, look, I've made some mistakes. I've traveled through this, and you will too. And God. And God.
Dr. Preston Sprinkle is a Bible scholar, speaker, podcaster, a New York Times bestselling author, and is the co-founder and president of the Center for Faith, Sexuality, and Gender. Preston loves talking and writing about hot-button cultural and theological issues with thoughtfulness, honesty, and grace. He is passionate about approaching topics that everyone wants to know about, but few are willing to talk honestly and graciously about. Topics like sexuality, gender, race, violence, patriotism, hell, politics, war, and what it means to follow a Jewish prophet king who was executed for treason. He works hard to challenge himself and others to read the Bible with conviction and humility while holding their predetermined beliefs loosely. We asked Preston to speak to this topic because he's someone we are all leaning into on these issues. Navigating the complexities of sexuality in this generation is completely overwhelming, and Preston always has wisdom to share. We're so thankful he's here.
Hey, my name's Preston Sprinkle, and there's a few things that stood out to me about Jamie and Lisa's conversation. First of all, hats off to Jamie and Lisa for tackling this super, super important topic. It is shocking that in 2022, Christians still, you know, shy away from questions about sex, sexuality, gender, but I'm so excited that they not only tackled it, but did so in such a candid way. Real, authentic, honest way. We need so many more of these conversations. So thank you so much, Jamie and Lisa, for tackling it. I want to talk about just a few things that really stood out to me as they were discussing this topic. First of all, I just really appreciate the fact that you use down-to-earth language. You didn't shy away from talking about oral sex. You know, you mentioned penis, vagina, porn, you know, and like, these are terms that even as I say them again, you know, like people get all like weirded out and everything, but these, we need to use the language that our kids are using. We need to understand what they're talking about. And if we can't even say certain words, then we will inevitably give the impression that we are shameful of our body parts, shameful of this thing that God created. And so we need to be honest. We need to be down to earth, you know, appropriate, obviously. And we don't need to use crass terms, but I do think we need to be able to communicate with our kids on their level. So I really appreciate that. That's the first thing that stood out, is just that Jamie and Lisa were not afraid to just use, real just down-to-earth, earthy terms that, again, normal people are simply using in their day-to-day speech. So thank you for being just, just honest up front with that. I also love the fact that I think it was Lisa who brought this out. Jamie and Lisa both really encourage parents to start having conversations with your kids at an early age. And I want to 100% agree with that. That is so important. And I love that Lisa brought up, you know, the fear that maybe some parents have that if we introduce this topic to kids too early, then we're going to be putting things in their mind that's not already there. And I love Jamie's response that, you know, that's a valid concern. There are certain age appropriate aspects of sexuality that we should or shouldn't be talking about. But the advice that Jamie gave is one that I constantly give parents, that, you know, you can begin at a very early age just talking about our bodies, name body parts, talk about penises and vaginas so that those parts aren't seen as a source of shame. If a part of your body is not named, that will send a signal that it's shameful. We don't talk about things that are shameful. So if we don't talk about body parts early on, then that very easily can cultivate a sense of shame over that body part that, like Voldemort, is not to be named, you know? So I really, really want to endorse that piece of advice from both Jamie and Lisa. I've read the same stat that they brought up that, you know, the stat that I've read is that the porn industry targets 9-year-olds. That's the age group that they want to get people. So we have one of the most powerful, well-financed organizations in the history of humanity trying to grab a hold of our 9-year-old kids and give them pretty horrific and violent, even and incredibly demeaning images towards women and sometimes even children. They're working hard to put those images in our kids' minds. So if we wait until they're like 17 to have the talk or whatever, you know, like we just can't do that anymore. Not in an age where there's an internet, you know. So start talking about this topic with your kids, and also our kids will tend to view as authoritative the first person that introduces them to a topic. If they, you know, say they're 7 years old and they, you know, hear a conversation about sex and playground, then they're 9 years old, they look at a porn site, then they're 11 years old, maybe they're at a sleepover where, you know, I don't know, maybe kids are experimenting or whatever, and then you wait until they're 13 to have the talk, they're going to see you as kind of like, hey, kind of missed the boat. Like, I'm going to go back to my friend who I first heard about this from. So, as parents, we want to establish ourselves as an authoritative voice in this topic, and to do that, we definitely need to be the first ones to have this conversation with them. I love Jamie's emphasis on kind of de-shaming sex. That's such a huge roadblock to a healthy, Christ-centered view of sexuality, is that there's so much shame that surrounds the topic. Shame over our bodies, shame over maybe things we've done, things we've seen or said, or things we just overhear from other people. There's so much shame that surrounds sex. And when we're filled with shame, we don't go to Jesus, we run from Jesus, as we saw with Adam and Eve in the garden. So we need to, yes, absolutely teach a Christian vision for how God has designed our sexual bodies, but we also need to talk about the cross and forgiveness and grace when we do fall short of that standard. So I just, yeah, can't emphasize that enough. Thank you so much, Jamie and Lisa, for bringing that up. I also love the whole nature of Jamie and Lisa's conversation was trying to cultivate rhythms of conversations around sex and sexuality. Not, you know, I've heard someone say, you know, it's much better to have 100 1-minute talks than one 100-minute talk, you know, rather than kind of sitting down and having that awkward, you know, talk and you're sweating and they're sweating and they can't wait to get out of the room. Just from an early age, just make the topic of sex and sexuality just not a taboo thing. This is just part of, you know, we talk about food, we talk about baseball, we talk about sex, we talk about church, it's just part of the rhythm of life, you know? And I think that will cultivate an environment where kids will be more prone to come to us with questions as they begin to have more and more questions about it. But they know that, like, they had that one-off weird talk with their parent, they're not going to want to go back to that. That's just kind of awkward, you know? So building in rhythms of conversations about sex and sexuality. So, you know, the only thing I would have loved to have seen Jamie and Lisa talk about is LGBTQ experiences. And this is something that I've encountered quite a bit recently, that a lot of kids, when they come out as gay or trans or whatever, that they almost always say, you know, when my parents were talking to us about sex, the ones that did, they just kind of assumed that I wouldn't have this experience. But according to the latest statistic in January 2022, the Gallup poll, 20.8%, one out of every five of Gen Z identifies as LGBTQ. So this is no longer like the 3 or 4% that we often heard growing up. I mean, this is a growing minority, but still a very growing percentage of kids who are identifying as LGBTQ. And what that means in the long run, you know, that's a whole nother conversation. But at the very least, they are exploring things. They are, identifying in certain ways. And if we pretend like that experience is just off the table, or that's, you know, some fringe thing that we don't even need to talk about, that's not going to be helpful. Even if our kid doesn't end up identifying as LGBTQ, a lot of their friends are. So if we kind of assume that, oh, you're a girl, so when you like a boy, or well, you're a boy, so when you like a girl, like it's just assuming that they are straight and always will be straight and will never have any kind of same-sex sexual desire. If we assume that, then for the one out of every five of your kids listening, for the one out of every five, when they don't have that experience, they're going to probably not go to you with that experience. They're going to go elsewhere because you've kind of given the impression that this thing doesn't even exist or doesn't apply to them. So naturally, they're not going to come to you. So I don't want to say, you know, just doesn't need to be like up in the air, like, you know, maybe you're gay, maybe you're straight or whatever, but just, you know, talking in more general terms, like rather than, you know, your daughter coaching your daughter, like, you know, when you like a boy, just say, you know, when you're interested in a person. And I would couple that with absolutely instilling God's vision that sex belongs within marriage, and marriage is between a man and a woman. So I think holding that intention, you know, like laying out God's vision for what marriage is, what sex is for, but also giving space that they might have a different kind of sexual experience. And if that is something they go through, I absolutely want them to come to me as a parent. So thank you again, Jamie and Lisa. Fantastic episode. I'm so glad you're doing this. I hope you do many more of these conversations in the future.
Launch is a production of Ivy Media Podcast. Executive producer is Jamie Ivy. Produced and edited by Angie Elkins. Art by Noel Rhodes. Original music by Matt Graham. Your co-hosts are myself, Jamie Ivy, and Lisa Whittle. Thank you for listening.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.